Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the man that needeth no introduction, looking absolutely dapper, dude, wearing his Sunday best podcast today, the captain, Jack Barry, in the co-host seat.
I had court today.
So I was going to say, man, like, I feel honored.
I know scrub.
I feel special.
I know scrub.
You know, you're showing up looking amazing, but it's apparently not for me. So I'm in the Canadian tuxedo right now, man. Yeah. I'm rocking the flannel.
I had to dress up for the magistrates, Josh.
So, the magistrates. That's right. You had to have your day in court.
Yeah.
Still
surprisingly, getting through all of that, so. Yeah. More. We'll talk about it on the pod. Like, very interesting day today. Very positive, but very interesting, to say
good.
The least.
So. Good. Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Getting past all of those fun court proceedings for sure. So, yeah. It's good. Life's good, man. We finished our series in 2 Timothy. It was bittersweet. Sad to see that go.
Yeah.
We got Pastor David. He's back from sabbatical now. All refueled fresh. And recharged and amped up, fresh. And he's ready to go. Yeah. So he's all fresh and starting 1 Peter last Sunday. So I got young adults starting coming up today, actually. Our group is starting up again. We're talking about spiritual disciplines. It's going to be awesome. Life's good. I got a vacation coming up finally that I am massively looking forward to. Coming up here in about a month, and I gotta say, this month is pretty heavy for me for pulpit fills. I'm actually preaching at a church.
Pulpit thugging, yo.
I'm pulpit thugging this week, man. I know. Yeah, I am. I'm preaching at a church down in West Seattle. I think it's Redeemer Bible Church, I think is what it is. So, really looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I love pulpit filling. I love pulpit thugging,
if you will.
Pulpit thugging, giving pastors a break. So yeah, if you guys, if any of our listeners know of either your pastor or your local church that needs a break or someone to come fill the pulpit, hit me up. I will pretty much travel anywhere. Like I preach for free. If you can get me there, that's all I ask. Just somehow get me there. And I'll preach for cigars. You know, I'm a cheap preaching date, Jack. But
cheap preaching date.
Yeah, I am.
Oh my gosh.
But that's neither here nor there. But anyway, November's shaping up to be great, coming into the holidays and feeling good about that. But Jack, my friend, it is we've got a lot to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Little melancholy. Reformation month is over. It was fun. It was fun while it lasted. All right.
I'm going to say this right now. I'm seeing way too many papist moms
on the Instagrams. I'm gonna get out the nails. I'm gonna get out the hammer. Everybody catching these theses, dude.
All of our algorithms were deeply affected during Reformation Month. Yeah. Now it's all Catholic cringe now. Yeah.
Dude.
Well, we're going to get back on track this episode, Jack. We've got a lot to get to for sure. But we're going to leave some of the Catholic cringe behind and get back to some good old fashioned Protestant tomfoolery.
So, exactly.
It is time for everyone's favorite segment of the show. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your host, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works. Jack, I've got some good ones for you today. Like I said, we're hopping off the we're giving the Catholics a break. We figured, you know, we burned them enough. All right.
Are we back to hitting at the old baptize your babies people or what?
No. I love my Presby brothers and sisters too much for that. No. We're getting into some unique territory here. Okay. Going to start off with some crazy stuff going down in Africa. I don't know what's going on. Okay.
Oh yeah.
But some of the churches down in Africa right now are insane, and my algorithm's kind of full of them right now. So I'm going to show you this one. No. They've got this one. This church sent their pastor off in style because they believed that he was truly and finally ascending into heaven through a hole in his roof.
What is going on?
Okay, so for our audio only listeners, you have this pastor that's dressed in all white, and he's being hoisted
by a bed sheet through the roof of the church.
And the thing is, it looks like they only took out like one section of the ceiling. So it's this tiny little square where he's kind of swinging back and forth, and whoever's pulling him's got to make sure that they hit that angle just right, because they got to get him through the roof without busting his head open on the ceiling.
Dude,
it's worth popping over to the YouTube for that. Jack, this one goes out to the ladies. All right, ladies, here's the thing. There's a lot of advice going on social media, right, about women, right, their place in church, how they should be addressing the men folk. All right, in their day-to-day dealings with them. All right. This man, I think, speaks for all men across the board. Ladies, pay attention to what this brother has to say about how you should be addressing us men.
Never allow your woman to call you honey. It's demonic. How can you be a byproduct of a bee? The Bible calls you love. It's the demonic entities that are trying to get your wife to lower your value by calling you honey, baby. No, the Bible says Lord.
Yeah, the positive head. baby, honey,
no.
Dude, he went straight.
I am not a bee.
I am not. You are not the byproduct of a bee.
What?
Ladies. You need to be listening. Listen to this man. He's dropping some absolute knowledge on us here. Let's continue. No. This brother, as the kids say, this brother's spitting. He's spitting.
So women know the moment they stop calling you Lord and calling you honey, baby, and all this, you think it's love. but the devil has stripped your worth. How is it that you can't just do what the Bible says? Shut up when the Bible is talking. The Bible says, be like your mother Sarah, who said to the Lord. No, Lord. Honey, no, baby.
Lord.
That's what you called your ex-boyfriend.
What?
Your former boyfriend is honey. Your other one before that one was baby. I'm also baby and honey at the same time. No, stick to the word. I am Lord. Never.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I there am it is. Lord. Get out of here.
There it is.
Get
there it is. Here. Elite advice. Elite advice.
Although,
I do want this as a ringtone though. If I can somehow get this.
Shut up when the Bible is talking.
Dude, that's awesome. Shut up when the Bible is talking. Dude, I have to. I'm gonna see if I can. You know what I'm gonna do?
Oh my god.
I'm going to isolate that audio. And somehow get it in here in our system so that I can pull that out when you know, you maybe you drop something awesome, right? And
just do what the Bible says. Shut up when the Bible is talking.
Shut up when the Bible is talking, dude. That get me amped up. Wow. That's good stuff. Anyway, ladies, we hope that helps. we hope that brings some insight.
We're losing all our female listeners after today. It's over, Josh.
All male podcast. Yeah.
The female listeners are gone, Josh.
Yep. And it's all the anonymous. Gone. And we lost them. Yeah. It's all the anonymous males on Twitter. They're going to be listening. They're listening to this and they're like, amen. This brother. Oh, like, this God. Brother knows what he's talking about. Anyway. Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you miss the Catholic cringe yet? No. Jack, my friend, enough of the tomfoolery, enough of the shenanigans. We're going to get into talking about our topic today. And this is a really good one. This is one that a listener sent in asking us about. And it's one that I think pertains to, I'm sure all of us have experienced this at one time or another in our lives, right? Basically, what we're talking about today is what do we do when we have members, or perhaps we are the members, right? We can attack it from both angles, that are geographically farther away from the rest of the membership, from the church. And it's harder for those individuals to be as consistent in their attendance in maybe extra, you know, extra opportunities for service or fellowship or community other than on the Lord's Day, right? That's a reality. I think every church has those. We have those brothers and sisters coming to Redeemer. We've got a few of those families right now who are.
We just had a situation like this in my local church, so I can.
Did you? Yeah. It's pretty common. I mean, I think it's more common than people think, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, and this is what I found, and if this might be an issue, and I'll throw this over to you, Jack. This might be an issue that pertains like more so to maybe the PNW because of perhaps how scarce, you know, good, solid biblical churches are out here.
Yeah.
The vast majority of churches that I have attended are what I guess you would call commuter churches. And that, like, not a lot of individuals that attend that church live within, you know, 5 to 10 miles of the church itself. You're having a lot of people, you know, commuting, driving in to attend services. Now, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I think one is what I've already stated. I think, you know, good biblical churches are hard to find. So when you find one, you make sacrifices for it too. The second is because things are expensive out here, you have a lot of individuals that are maybe not as affluent as others, right? So they'll live in certain areas of the state. That is a determining factor. I know that's how it was for my wife and I, right? We for a while commuted, it was like 30, 40 minutes to church. I mean, the church that we're at right now, it was 55 minutes.
Yeah.
One way.
Yeah.
And we did that for over a year because we couldn't afford to you know, move, right? So there's a lot of reasons, but I want to throw it over to you first, Jack. You say that you guys kind of experienced or have experienced that in your local church too.
Yeah, so we had a deacon who was with us for a very long time, years, and him and his wife were just great examples of the gospel, fostering kids, some kids who were not wanted during pregnancy, and they were adopting them or fostering to adopt. And they lived out there from South Tacoma area, and they made the decision to finally just start to go to a local church in the town that they're in. Mm-hmm. And it was hard because he was a deacon. He was very connected within our local church. He did men's morning Bible studies with us. He did a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is that when you are just an hour, like, I don't even know if it's an hour, but I'm just going to say hypothetically an hour because I'm just basing that off of, you know, your experience. If you're an hour or maybe 30 plus more minutes away from things, that's tough. I'm just going to say that right now. Yeah, it's tough because especially when you know that the local church you're a part of is where you want to be, there needs to be some decisions that are made. Like either we trust the Lord that he's going to move us closer here, or maybe there's a local church being planted in our area that's maybe a better, you know, fit for us, or we go there. Mm-hmm. But I would say the hardest things are is that you are, I mean, I know for both you and myself, when we left our local churches because of the toxicity of the climate there,
sure,
in that church, trying to find another local church is probably the hardest ordeal to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And it being in the proximity of where you're at is even harder.
Sure.
Because sometimes that just doesn't work out. And so, yeah, I think with our former deacon, he really wanted to, and he felt that the Lord was calling him to plant or to go to a local church in that town that he's in right now.
Yeah.
And then kind of go from there. But yeah, it is a difficult undertaking because, you know, for us, there's a few blocks away from us, there's a family. Maybe 5 or 10 minutes away from us, there's more families.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very different environment than being 30 plus more minutes away from people that you know you love and care about. But
right,
it's just a hike to do it.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the hard thing is that there's no, you know, clear cut answer to it. It really does come down to a lot of individual factors, right? But something to keep in mind if you are in this scenario, right, is something that we've encouraged before is what is the local church for, right? What should our mentality be toward the local church? Well, first and foremost, primarily, you should be gathering with the Lord's people on the Lord's Day, right? That's what it's for, right? So if you're not able to do that consistently, then I think that's your answer.
Yeah.
So that I think is the first priority, item A on the agenda. Can we faithfully attend on the Lord's Day in a way that, that we should be attending, right?
Yeah.
So that's your first question, right? Can you do that? If you can't, then I would say that, yeah, it either means one of two things. Either finding a local church that is closer to you geographically that you would be able to attend faithfully, where you'll be able to be involved in the community life and be, discipled and sit under the word and all the things that come from, you know, being faithful on the Lord's Day. Or it means that you pack up and you move and you relocate to where that local church is that you want to attend.
Yeah.
Now, both of those things are pretty drastic. I understand. But I would counter maybe some of those arguments with, well, where you go to church, where you attend on the Lord's Day, who you decide to commit yourself to, is going to affect, or it should affect, every part of your life. And it should be positively. So the local church should be of those utmost importance, right? I think we should be looking at where we're going to be going to church before we look at, you know, what our employment's going to be, before we look at, you know, where in the country do we want to move? Well, one of the first questions should be, well, is there a local church there? Is there a good local church there? Because too many people just put that local church in kind of one compartment and figure, okay, I'm going to get the housing figured out. I'm going to get the job figured out. We're going to move there. Let's actually get there. And then we'll figure out a church when we get there.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. That's backwards.
Yeah.
That's backwards. Because you could have a great job, you could have an awesome house, and if you don't have a local church that you can pour into and that can pour into you, both of those things are going to be meaningless because you're going to be spiritually fatigued and empty.
Yeah.
And too many Christians, I think, buy into the Americanized understanding of what the church is, and it's very individualistic instead of corporate.
Yeah.
So you get decisions like that, right? So yeah, you have to ask yourself, can I faithfully plug into this church, bare minimum on the Lord's Day? Let's just start there. Yeah. Or is the distance going to be a factor day to, you know, week after week to where I'm not consistently able to gather? You got to ask that. You got to ask that question first.
Yeah. And I can give a prime example of this as well, too, from my own life. So I lived in Fort Knox, Kentucky area, and I found a local church in Louisville that was really good. It was not, it was back in my non-particular Baptist days, but the Lord drew me to this church, and I really found good community there. I really found a group of believers that wanted what was best for me, that prayed for me during my time when I was at Fort Knox. I would make the hike. I would make the hike on the Lord's Day. I would make the hike for community group. And I was a good 30 plus minutes away from that area. So yeah, it took some sacrifice. And all of this while I'm going through officer basic course for the armor course, which is that's an additional cost to it as well too. So yeah, there's going to be some cost to those things. As a single guy though, I was kind of like, whatever, I'll do this.
It's definitely a lot easier when you're not having to think about a wife and kids for sure.
Yeah. So it's a different way if you're single versus if you have a family, there's going to be a cost to that too.
For sure.
I do remember those days, and I honestly look back with them like with a lot of nostalgia, because when we would get weekends off, I would go and we would watch Premier League soccer in this Irish pub there in Louisville. Nice. And then we would get pizza after church on Sundays. We would hang out. There'd be a lot of stuff. So I felt like the Lord was leading me there. And I really prayed about that, to be quite honest. I had prayed about that before I left Ellensburg, where I was our Army ROTC recruiter for that program as a brand new second lieutenant in the Army. That was something that was interesting. I will say that coming to Mars Hill from that church was out of not the greatest life choice, but the Lord used it anyway. But
absolutely.
Anyway, so I look on that time and I was making that conscious decision to drive 35 minutes out of my way or more to a place that I knew it would take time, it would take road time, it would take my energy, but I knew that I had good community with believers there, and I knew that the word was a part of our fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that we were casting our burdens upon each other, but then ultimately giving those burdens to the Lord. So,
yep. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, if you're in that situation and you are able to attend consistently on the Lord's Day, you've got that down, okay, then yeah, you have to ask yourself, what sacrifices are we going to make, right? Because we've talked about this before, and it's true. The Lord's Day, although that is primary and of most importance, it is not enough.
Yeah.
We need to be involved in our brothers and sisters' lives throughout the week. We can't just treat the local church as the thing that you do on Sunday morning, and then you have no interaction, no integration with it whatsoever for the rest of the week. We need the accountability. We need the community. It's what we are designed for, and that's what the local church does for the believers. So we need to find ways to make sure that we are integrating into that community the best that we can. Mm-hmm. And if you live far away, yeah, it's going to be harder, but that might mean that you make some sacrifices. That might mean that you have some less free time, less nights free. Your gas bill is going to be a little bit more expensive, right? Because you're making the local church a priority. Right? If that local church is where you have chosen to covenant with, then you got to invest.
Yep.
Right? And I would say this too. Don't just be content with where you are geographically, right? And look, I'm not coming from some pie in the sky pious position here.
I understand
how hard it is to move. I've done it way too many times. Jack knows how many times we have had, my wife and I have had to move.
Yep.
He knows how long we were trying to get up to Cedar Woolley where Redeemer is.
Yep.
We were trying for a long time. I understand that it's difficult.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not saying, you know, if you're not doing this within, a couple weeks, then you're doing something wrong. I'm not. I understand how hard it is. But if that is where you want to be, and those are the people that you want to be in community with, my suggestion is, for your health, for your good and for their good, you want to get as close as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that does mean switching jobs. Maybe that does mean switching apartments. Maybe that does mean putting some things in place where you're able to be closer to that local church, right? And that's the thing that I think the American church today doesn't comprehend. Be like, wait, you're like, we move, like there's lots of things that we will move for. Right? We'll move for work. We'll move to get to a cheaper, to a cheaper place, a cheaper house, a cheaper apartment, a cheaper state. Right? We'll move for family. Right? We'll move for health, personal reasons. We'll move simply out of convenience because we like the shade of green that this grass has versus this grass. But we won't move for the church.
Yeah.
And when you attempt to encourage somebody that maybe that's something they should consider, they look at you like you're growing a third eye.
Yeah.
Like, why would I move for the church? Churches are a dime a dozen. I can find a church anywhere I go. Right. Mm-hmm. And we treat churches like picking a new coffee stand. It's like, well, I moved away, but I'll find one. No, that's not how we treat the most important thing in our lives, the thing that God has given us for one of our primary means of sanctification, the way that we stay encouraged, the way that we're convicted, the way that we have the community that we need. We don't treat it like another coffee stand.
Yeah.
And I think that's foreign to a lot of folks. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. So if it's far, consider making a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Consider the move. Consider how can you get closer, because it's going to be good for you.
Yeah, start praying about it too.
Absolutely.
I don't know what that looked like for you guys. I'm sure you guys were praying enormously for just like open up something, Lord. You got to.
And again, like I understand it's hard. It took us over a year. We commuted for a year.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most, like, juxtaposing. I can't think of the word, but that we've ever been through, and that our church experience was wonderful. We loved the church. We loved the people. We hated where we lived because we were isolated and we were alone.
Yeah.
We hated it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Lord made a way. And we didn't let up on the gas. That's the thing. We didn't change the goal. We didn't let up on the gas. And the Lord made it happen. And I believe he's faithful to do that when we seek first the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't some prosperity gospel. This is getting our priorities straight. Seek first the kingdom, and God will add all of those things. He'll take care of the details. You keep what is supposed to be primary, primary, and watch what God can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. No, I was reminded of that verse a lot, especially when you get laid off and you are going through anxiety about where is provision going to come from?
Yes.
And then you see those, and then you see those sweet little promises that Jesus just drops on you in Matthew, like, you don't need to worry about
those. Consider the lilies, man.
Yeah.
Consider the birds.
You don't need to worry about those things. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things, I think, are, you know, what you said, Josh, is really important, because I don't think our minds want to go to that.
No.
Of seek first your kingdom, seeking his righteousness.
Yeah.
Our minds are like, what do I get out of this?
Yeah.
What do I get out of this deal? What have you done for me lately? Is kind of like our juxtaposition. And so, you have to regulate your emotions, and you have to steer them into, or you have to put up some sort of mechanism, some sort of goad to goad yourself, that you know that goad is set up to go towards the Lord in this way.
Right.
Right. Because if you don't do those things, if you don't kind of self-control yourself in this way, you're going to be seeking after any little, you're going to spiritualize anything.
Yeah.
So then it's going to be, you're going to start to spiritualize places and peoples and times and things versus, okay, wait. Is this a calculated thing that the Lord is doing because I'm praying about this? Or is it just me wanting to superimpose my own will onto the situation?
Yeah.
It's a fine line sometimes that you have to walk.
It is a fine line. And as we look to close the app, I'd like to come at it from a pastoral position as well. I'd like to encourage the pastors. If you have members in your congregation that are in this situation, that are in this scenario, I'd like to encourage you in two ways. The first one, be patient and gracious with them, because it is very possible that the local church where you pastor is providing something for them that they have never experienced before in terms of maybe the community life, the biblical teaching, you know, what have you. It's very possible that, you know, your local church is an oasis in a desert for them, right? Mm-hmm. Be intentional about reaching out. Be intentional about seeking those individuals out, because they're not going to be, you know, top of mind awareness for you because of how far they're at, right? Out of sight, out of mind is a real thing, and that can happen with congregants as well. So be diligent in seeking after them, caring for them, checking in on them, and helping them with kind of that hard situation that they're in. I would say with that, obviously with grace and in a pastoral way, encourage them to make those sacrifices that we were talking about. Either, how can we help you get up here? Because we don't want to be content with our sheep living outside of the pen.
Yeah.
Right? Right? You can't be part of our pasture if you're in another pen. That's not how it works. It's not feasible. Right? I need to be around you. I need to be involved in your life. I need you involved in the other people's lives here. And that's hard to do when you're so far away. So how can we get you up here? right? I think should be the primary conversation. And if those conversations don't produce fruit and they're hemming and hawing, and again, this is where it gets difficult, but I think it's important, right? Your goal for those people should be that they are in a place where they are getting what they need spiritually. Mm. One of the hardest things that a pastor sometimes has to come to grips with is maybe that's not at your church.
Mm. Yeah.
It might not be. And sometimes, because we love the sheep, we have to press in on the hard topic of, hey, maybe this isn't the place.
Yeah.
Can I help you find somewhere where you'll thrive, where you'll get what you need?
Yeah.
Right? And that's a hard conversation, because often it can be like, well, oh, what? You don't want me coming to your church? Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I want what's best for you. I want you to be spiritually nourished. I want you to have community around you, brothers and sisters that love you and care for you, that you're in daily consistent life with. That's what I want for you, because I love you. And I'm struggling to see how you're getting that here.
Yeah.
Right? You have to be willing to have those conversations.
Yeah.
And it comes out of love, not obviously malice or frustration. Like, well, if you're not going to move up here, then we don't want you. Absolutely. That's not the mentality. It's, if you can't move up here right now, right? And again, I'll say this, and then I can throw it over to you to close. Take your time with that. I'm really glad that the elders at Redeemer took time to walk with Lauren and I, you know, after like 1 month, be like, well, you guys aren't moving up here. So, you know, we're cutting ties.
Yeah.
They were patient. They took their time. They understood. They saw that we were trying and taking steps. Look, if I see somebody striving and somebody like making it a priority, I will walk with you for as long as it takes to get up here. Right. But if it's not really seeming like a priority, then that's where the conversation changes, right? So it takes grace and time and discernment to get to that point, but don't be afraid to get to that point pastorally.
Yeah, I mean, it just it's a reminder to us, like in the Pierce County area at large, like we need a lot more church plants. We need a lot more gospel preaching churches, and if you go from Tacoma and go west. No, not west, east, excuse me, more towards like Mount Rainier. Mm-hmm. You start to get into the hinterland, the kind of rural areas. I don't consider that rural. Josh and I know what's rural.
anything west side of the mountains you're going to call rural, get out of here.
I don't consider Bonnie Lake rural, but the amount of good Bible churches in that area is pretty low.
Sure.
And so when there was a church that started to plant and is planting, and some of my friends are going there right now, even some of our pastors are like, hey, I know some of you who are in Bonnie Lake, and if you guys want to go there, like, let's have conversations.
Yeah,
because exactly. Ultimately,
it's not a competition.
Ultimately, like, we don't own you.
Yeah.
We're not here to, like, renew your contracts. Mm-hmm. We are here to shepherd you through this thing called the Christian life.
Yes.
We're here to guide you as best as we can. Mm-hmm. And if that's somewhere else, then let the Lord do that.
Yeah. Let's
and let the Lord steer that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's the attitude versus it's not so much about if it's all about numbers, if it's all about how many members you have and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to majoring on the majors. Then it really isn't about the kingdom at that point.
Yeah. Well, and it's not about caring for the sheep.
Yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah,
yeah,
it's a huge thing when you can gather, when you can partner with other local churches, when you can partner with local church plants as well too, and know that those people could be a absolute gospel impact for that church as members versus maybe hoarding them just at your local church.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yep. 100% agree, man. Yep. Make the local church priority, sacrifice, to be there, strive to be there, and don't be afraid to make life changes for the local church. It's one of the few things that it is absolutely worth it. It's worth it for. So,
yeah.
Jack, my man, why don't you get us out of here, brother?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's focus here on the Reformatory to make the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. You can follow us on the Metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Zuck site. I don't know what else you call that. You can follow us on the Instagram. It goes with heresy and marshmallow and chocolate. Just all right on time. Things. Just right on time for winter. Right. You can also follow us on the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. If that's your choice meat per se. You can follow us all at those sociables at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can drop us an episode idea like we did this episode. You could drop us a comment, a question, a concern, maybe. I don't know.
If you got them.
Some sort of mailbag. If you have anything and or everything, or maybe you want to talk to us further about how to support us in endeavors, well, Josh can tell you about how to do that as well.
That's right. If you are a long-term listener and maybe a no-time reviewer, if you're on Apple or Spotify, we would ask that you would give us some 5 stars. Just scroll down and review the podcast. Let us know maybe where you found it, what you appreciated about it. We'd really, really appreciate that. We're on YouTube. If you want to watch these episodes as well as listen to them, which, you know, does make the Instagram segment much more enjoyable, head on over to YouTube. Look for the Reformatory Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. Last but not least, we got a Patreon for $5 a month. Awesome stuff's happening over there. You get this episode early. You get 2 bonus eps every single week, plus a bunch of other random stuff. You get first dibs on new merch. We got a particular Baptist t-shirt in the works right now that is looking snazzy. I'm not going to lie. But patrons get first crack at all of that stuff. So if you would like to join the most exclusive Patreon in the Reformed zeitgeist, head on over to the Reformatory Patreon. Link in the description of this episode for a $5 holla. You too can become a patron supporter. And our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.